It's Leland Nishon, so I'll share with you a vart that I heard from my father. You know, we may have shared it before, but it's Nachas Ruach to say over a vart in someone else's name. There's a famous Gemara in Maseches Pesachim that tells us about a Gentile who would brag in Netzivin when he came to Babel and he came to the town of Netzivin. He would brag to his friends about how he was successful in infiltrating the security of the Beis HaMikdash and being able to eat from a carbon Pesach every year. As we know, this Gentile would brag about the fact that he was successful year in, year out, being part of the Chabura, concealing the fact that he was an Oral, and being able to eat from the carbon Pesach. And word got to the Rav of the town, to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira managed to get this gentleman, or not such a gentleman, to come and speak to him. And when he heard, he said, "Really, you've ate from the carbon Pesach? Tell me, how did you manage?" Well, he explained to me, he joined the Chabura and how he was being a Jew. He said, no, they know you're not real. Have you ever had from the tail? He said, no. He said, they don't give you from the tail because they know that you're not one of us. See, that's why you never get the best part. And obviously, this Gentile, having bragged to his friends year in, year out about his success, wanted this year to show them, I'll be able to get even from the tail. And he arrived in Yerushalayim and he wants to join a Chabura. So he goes along to one of the Chabura and he says to him, "Listen, I'd like to join, but I want from the tail." As we know, one of the things that gets Nikra Vagabra Mizbeach, one of the Emurim of Korban Pesach, of a Seh, is the Aliyah. And every Eid, and especially anyone who has frequented the Beis HaMikdash, certainly that would go there, would have learned the Halachos from having been a young child in Klal Yisrael, would have known that the Aliyah is part of the Emurim, and the one doesn't get to eat it. And they quizzed him again. "Well, again, what do you mean? What do you mean? Don't try and fuck me off. My Rav told me that I should be getting the Aliyah. You use your Rav." Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. It didn't take long for them to investigate. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said he should ask for the tail, and they investigated, and it didn't take them long to figure out that this person was actually a non-Jew, and was forbidden to have taken part in it, and he was therefore chayiv to receive the worthy punishment. And the message was sent back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. You are in Netzivin and your net is spread over Yerushalayim. Meaning he remained in Netzivin, but his plan, his net to ensnare worked. This gentleman worked. In fact, Hosphus, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, when he would come up to the Oile L'Regel, inform on this person, make sure that he was there with him and hand him in? Why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira stay at home? He obviously wasn't Oile L'Regel. That's why Mitzudos said Purusa Yerushalayim. Why did he not come to be Oile L'Regel? So Tosfos suggested he was a Chayim, he was a Zokin, so there are exemptions in such situations that they're exempt from coming to be Oile L'Regel. And then Tosfos says, well, it could be that he wasn't Chayim on Oile L'Regel because he didn't have a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have a portion of Eretz Yisrael. And the Chiyuv Oile L'Regel is only if a person owns a portion of Eretz Yisrael. That's in that's why the Nusach of Tefillah is like that. V'hoshim Yisrael in Aveim. Klal Yisrael will go back to their abode and you'll have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Then you've got a chiyuv aliyah l'regel v'sham na'alev in Eroi. Perhaps the Kasha, why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira not have a port? Every year there's a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. In our parasha we are told that la'ila t'cholik haaretz, the Eretz Yisrael was apportioned to Klal Yisrael. And every person in Klal Yisrael receives, every Shevet receives, and by virtue of every Shevet receiving, every person in Klal Yisrael has a Chiluk in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi tells us that the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael that took place in our parasha was unique and different to any other type of Chalukah in Yerusha that would ever take place. Because as we know, Yerusha is always that the Chayim or Yerush as Hamesim, those who are alive, Yashin, what is left behind from those who have already passed on. When Eretz Yisrael was first divided up in our parsha, there was a Mesim Yoshim Esachai. How did that work? Explains Rashi from the Gemara. What happened was like this. There was a number, a counting of Klal Yisrael, from which we know how many people would be entering into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was then divided up, corresponding to the amount of people that were going to be entering into Eretz Yisrael. That's how many portions we know there are. However, before they were given out to the people, they were looked at, as if you would imagine, you had Reuven, who had two sons. He had Shimon, and he had Levi. Levi had three sons, Levi had four sons, and Yisachar had six sons. So again, Reuven has two sons, Shimon and Levi. Let's start again. Reuven, the grandfather who came out of Mitzrayim with his two sons, Shimon and Levi. We'll keep it more simple. Let's keep it more simple. Yaakov came out of Mitzrayim with his two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven had four sons, Shimon had six sons. Reuven and Shimon and Yaakov are nifta in the Midbar because they're not going into Eretz Yisrael. So at the time now of the Chalukah, you just have the sons of Reuven and the sons of Shimon, the four sons of Reuven and the six sons of Shimon. That's 10 portions between them. So the 10 portions of Eretz Yisrael going to this family. However, before they divide it up, it goes back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So those 10 portions are taken, up, back to Reuven and Shimon, back to Yaakov, their father. And then they are redivided out. So those 10 portions go 5 to Reuven, 5 to Shimon. Reuven's 4 sons receive 5 portions, and Shimon's 6 sons receive 5 portions. And they now divide that between themselves. This was a unique way of the way it took place. It was divided between the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Nichnasei La'aretz, backwards, the Meisim Yoshim Mitzrayim, and then given out again. There were, however, certain people who would never, because of the way this halakha was done, would never have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. And those were the 30,000 Bnei Ephraim, who the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, left Mitzrayim early. So they weren't part of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, because they left early. They were killed on the way, and as we know, they were brought back to life by Yechezkel HaNavi in the Valley of Dry Bones in the Haftarah that we learn on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. So neither were they from Yotzei Mitzrayim, because they went out 30 years earlier, and neither were they from the Nichnasei Eretz Yisrael, because they only came in for the time Yechezkel had Meisim, who had Tchias HaMeisim. So them and their descendants have no portion in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara has a discussion as to whether this story of the Bnei Ephraim, what actually happened after the Tchias HaMeisim? Did they live on? Did they not live on? What happened? There's a mandama that says that Meisim Shechia Yechezkel went into Eretz Yisrael where he led the Bani Ruvin Ibadim and they gave birth to children and they had descendants. They kept Torah mitzvahs. Omad Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira al Raglov. No other than Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira stood on his feet and he said, Ani mi bnei bneihem ve'elu tfilin she'niach yavi abo mehem. I'm a descendant of theirs and I have an heirloom. These are the tfilin that I have from the Meisim Shechia Yechezkel. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was a descendant of people who were not Yotzei Mitzrayim and were not Nichnasei Eretz Yisrael. Remember, he had no chilek in Eretz Yisrael. He had no chiyuv aliyah l'regel. And therefore, it answers Chazal Tosfos why he never went to be aliyah l'regel. And he had to send a message to trap this person in his name into being caught and having Mitzudosei Perusa al-Yerushalayim. When Klal Yisrael are counted in this week's parashas, different to the other places that they counted, where we said the name of the Shevet, we said the name of the Nasi, and then we counted how many people were in that Shevet. Here we are told the names of the Shvatim and the names of the Mishpachos in every Shevet. We're told the names of the Mishpacha in every Shevet. And the reason for that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had heard what the Umos HaOlam were saying, that if the Mitzrayim ruled over the physical bodies of Klal Yisrael, then there's no way that they didn't, being the Shnufei Zimah that they were, there's no way they didn't rule over their wives as well, in which case, Klal Yisrael are not descendants of their fathers of Klal Yisrael, they are descendants of Mitzrayim. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to put my name either side of the names of Klal Yisrael, as David HaMelech says, Shivtei Ko Eidos Li Yisrael, I'm going to put my name of Yud Kei as an Eidos, that these are Bnei Yisrael and the Meyuchas to Klal Yisrael. Hence, when we list out their names, we say, Reuven b'chol Yisrael, b'nei Reuven, chanoich, mishpachas ha-chanoichi. Add on the hey at the beginning, you did the end. Lepalu, mishpachas ha-palui. I'm going to ask that in a second. And so it goes on, you come to the Shevet of Shimon, Nemuel, ha-nemueli, yomin, ha-yomini, yochin, ha-yochini, zerach, ha-zarachi. We're always adding on a hey at the end. Why? Because, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Eidus ko. So as Reb Shimon asked correctly, the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh asked this question, and other Mepharshim as well. If you're putting it because of the name of Yud K, when we look at the way every family has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped around it, it's really the wrong way around. It says, Mishpachas Lechetzroi, Mishpachas Ha Chetzroi Ni. You put a Hey and then a Yud. If it's Ka, it should be a Yud and then a Hey. More than that, we know there's one family later on where it didn't actually have to add anything on. The family is called Yimna. It has a yud at the beginning, it has a hay at the end. Yes, it still calls them Hayimni. Adds on a hay. What's the significance of this, and why is this name chosen? So the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says that there's a famous Gemara in Sotan Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, which says the Ish V'Isha Shchina Shruya Beneihem. that the name Ish and the name Isha, the Ish contains a Yud, the Isha contains a Hey, and if they are Zoicha, then Shchina Shruya B'nehem. Which name? The Yud, Hey, the Yud of Ish and the Hey of the Isha. If not, then one's left with Ish and Ish. So those two join together to tell us about the Shchina Shruya B'nehem. Says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell Klal Yisrael, I want you to know that I know that you are Miyuchas, and I know that there was Shchina Shruya. But how do I know? Because the Shchina was Shruya there the whole time. That's how I know that these Mishpachos are from Klal Yisrael. They had that name of Yud K there the whole time. However, and this can be explained using the Gaon. The Gaon says on a pasuk in Koheles, Perek Zayin pasuk Ches, says Adam echad me elef matzasi, ve'isha b'chol eir eloi matzasi. From men, one out of 1,000 I did find. I didn't find any women. Says the Vilna Gaon that we know by the Chet HaEgel there were 3,000 people that died. Why were 3,000 people niftar? Because the Vilna Gaon says in the pasuk, Chamisha boker yesharim tachas ha-shoy. There's 5 that are in place of the shoy. Meaning because of the Egel, because of every person that was choyte in the Egel, 5 people died in the Magefa. How many people were choyte by the Egel? So the pasuk we just said, Adam echad me elef motosi. 1 out of every 1,000. There were 600,000 people. 1 out of every 1,000. That means 600 people were choyte by the Egel. Because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chamisha baka yesharim tachas ha-shoy. We're going to take 5 for everyone that was nifter. 5 times 6 is 3,000. And we know in Parashat Kisisa, there were 3,000 people who died in the Magefa by the Egel. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam echad me'elef matzasi, but v'isha b'chal eilo le'matzasi. There wasn't a single woman who was choyte by the Egel. And therefore there were 3,000 men that were taken as compensation or as atonement for what happened by the Egel. But v'isha b'chal eilo le'matzasi. By the Meraglim, there were no women that were found. And we find that therefore the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar was primarily upheld by the women. Hence says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his name around their names, he puts the Hey, which is the letter of the Isha, before the Yud, which is from his name of Ka, but he puts the Hey from the Isha before the Yud of the Ish. Because they were the ones who upheld that. And he says, and that's why, when it comes to Mishpachas Hayimna, it says there, So Yimna, Le Yimna, Mishpachas HaYimna. Why does it have to add on a hey? Because we want to show that it was the Kedusha of the Noshim Tikkanis in the Midbar who were the ones that upheld that, they maintained and instilled that main, the Kedusha in the main, and that's why it lasted. That's, to understand that a little bit better, there's a famous vart that's said over from the Bnei Yisrael, that's said over from the Vilna Gaon. The Makam HaMikdash was called either by Malachim or by Adam HaRishon Machaneh. Avram Avinu called it Har, Yitzchak Avinu called it Sodeh, Yaakov Avinu called it Bayis. The gematria of Machaneh is 103. You add 103 to 103, yeah, Mem Ches is 48, and 50 is 98, and 5 is 103. 103 plus 103 is 206, that's Har with the Kodesh. Add another 103 to 206, you get 309, the gematria of Sodeh. Add another 103 to 309, you get 412, exactly the gematria of Bayis. At another 103 to 412, you get 515. Exactly the amount of tefillahs Moshe Rabbeinu davened that he should be able to go and build the Beis HaMikdash.
What was
the
original word?
103, Machaneh. What's this? You know, gematria is normally, how does it work? You say 103 plus 103, 206, 206, 206, 412, 412, 412, 824, etc., etc. Why are we always going back and adding on the 103, 103, 103 from the beginning? So Chaim Kaufman Zich, son of Rotha, explained. He said, I'm not sure if this was his own water, this comes from the Vilna Gaon and the Bnei Sosfer. He said, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, coming to build a Makam HaMikdash, there's no way a person coming along and say, listen, forget the past. I'll tell you how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to do it my way and build his own thing. It doesn't work like that. The only way that we can be Avodas Hashem is look back at how previous Doris did it, how they set the foundations, commensurate to those foundations, we add on our little bit. If you come to a building that's got foundations for 10 floors and try and put another 10 on, it's going to collapse. So we always go back and say, what was the first foundation? What were the first foundation blocks? What were they? They were 103. So my avodah is commensurate to that 103. And therefore everyone adds on their 103, because their avodah is always commensurate to the initial foundations that were begun. That's the 103, 103, 103. At each stage, each of the obvious, then Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Avraham Shah, and Yisefi Alekev HaLibu says, add another 103 to 515, you get 618. The gematria of Ish, Aleph Yud Shin, is 311. Isha, Aleph Shin He, 306. 311, 306, 617. And Shchina Shruya Bin Em is another one, that's 618. because that's also building a Mikdash Ma'at. It's got the same Yisoidus. We look back at how it was done before. We look back at the Kibbutz Koh, Eidus Koh, the Yisrael. The Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us, look, this is how it's set up. It's got Kedusha, and that's how we build on it. And that's where we get to. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu telling us in this week's parasha that he's putting his name, but he's putting it in the inverted way, according to the Al-Sheikh, to show us that the Kedusha was maintained particularly like that. One of the Chassam Sofer has a beautiful vort on one of the names in the parasha. When it comes to the names of the family, start with Reuven, Shimon, and then God. They were all in one machane together, on one side of the. So the Bnei God. Says Rashi, Perakhovov, Posuk Tezayin. Laozni, Omer Ani, Shezu Mishvachas Itzvoin. This is the family that we know that was called Itzvoin. The Eini Yodea, says Rashi, and I do not know. Lomo Loi Nikris Mishvachta Al Shemoy. Why was his name changed to this week's parasha to Ozni? Says the Chassam Sofer, and because of Bishlo, the Shlo HaKadosh says, the Gemara tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with fingers, so that if we were exposed to hearing Lashon Hara, or anything that we shouldn't hear, we should use, that a person has etzboi, ka'odom alai ki yaseidois, if a person hears a dovah she'ein hogun, yosim etzboi ba'ozno. Says the Chassam Sofer, in the name of the Shlo HaKadosh, that's Shevet God over here, were neighbors of Reuven and Shimon. Shevet Shimon, as we know, those are the ones who in last week's parasha led a revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu when it came to the Maaseh of Zimri. Shevet Reuven were in the main helping in the revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu by the Maaseh of Korach. And Shevet God maintained their integrity. How did they do that? Because when they heard these things that were being said about Moshe Rabbeinu, they put their ears, their fingers in their ears, and they were called Mishpachas Itzboin up until this point. Up until this point in the Torah, they're called Itzboin, because how did they maintain their integrity? How did they... being neighbors of Reuven and Shimon in the same degel, how did they stay out and not get involved in machlokes? By putting the etzba in their oizen in order not to hear it. However, now in this week's parasha, where we've reached a point where we're just about to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the troublemakers in Klal Yisrael are now no longer, and Klal Yisrael are all living with the integrity that they're meant to, but in God don't need to work. Now they can be ozni, they can be oizen, they can have an open ear. And therefore, their name changes from being itzboin to being oizen. The Meshiloyach says that this really tells us also in Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim went out of their way to try and make Klal Yisrael hear whatever it was that they could to make them hear things that would be very clearer, hear things that would be very nevala. And in Mitzrayim, they made sure to use their etzbois not to hear what the Mitzrayim were saying. And resulting from that, they were zoicha to have an oizen shemea, which comes from avoiding hearing what one shouldn't. One gets the siyata dishmeya to be able to hear what one shouldn't, to have the oizen. I'd like to share with you a maisa that Rav Shimba Yochai said over in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Abba told Rabbi Yossi, he says, I remember once hearing a Maisa, hearing from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, something that he had heard from Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, that one day, a wise guy, an apikoros, a koifer, came to Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, and he said to him, Saba, I've got three questions I want to ask you. Three questions I need to ask you. It's brought down in this week's parasha, Parashas Pinchas, and it's very pertinent to the Yemei Bein HaMetzarim. It says to him like this, the three questions. So the first question is, you all believe that you're going to have a third Beis HaMikdash. You've already had two, and the Pesukim tell us you're only going to have two. Famous Pesuk in Chagai, God liye kved habayis hazeh, ha'achra in Yosem in Arishayim. That's it, you're not going to have more than two. So what is it that you all believe? Your Torah only speaks about two Batei Mikdash, and you all believe in a third one. So the second thing I want to ask you is that you all believe that you are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, The Rabbeinu Shalom is the Melech Malchei Amlochim. Someone who's close to the king, is generally happy, doesn't have a worry, he's got no pain, he's looked after. He says, I look at you, Klal Yisrael, you're Betzar, you're Bedoichek, you're Beyogoin. Not only that, you're more Betzar, more Bedoichek, more Beyogoin than any nation in the world. And you reckon that you're close to the king. It doesn't work. Look at us. Look at us. I imagine this was the time of the Romans. Look at us. We've got no tzar, we've got no doichek, we've got no yogoin. We are obviously much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than you are. You were closer to the Melech Malchei Amlochim, and you are extremely distanced from him. And because you're distanced from him, just you should all know that's why you have tzar, yogoin, and doichek. That's why you're in pain, and that's why you are wailing, and that's why you have troubles, because you're far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second hara I want to make to you. First is, there ain't going to be no third Beis HaMikdash. The second is, you're not close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the contrary, the facts on the ground show that you are very distant from him. The third thing is, he says, you know, you have a minig, you clearly saw, you don't eat Nevelis and Trevis, Scotsim and Ramosif. I imagine that's for health reasons. You want to maintain your health and be much healthier than everyone else in the world. He says, well, again, look, let's have a look at what's going on in the world. We eat all that stuff. And we're far, far stronger and more powerful than you are. Look at us. All our limbs are intact. Well, our limbs are strong. We eat everything like this, and you don't eat it. Look at all of you. You're weak. You've got illnesses. You've got ailments. Not only that, your illnesses, ailments, and weaknesses are more than all the nations of the world. It's not working. The reason for which you're not eating your Scots and Muslims and Nevelis and Travers doesn't work. So why don't you stop? And he finishes off and he says to him, Sabo, Sabo. Don't even try and answer me on these three things, because I'm not going to listen to you and I won't even cover it from you anyway. It seems that Rabbi Eliezer didn't make eye contact with him the entire conversation. And at the end, Rabbi Eliezer lifted up his eyes, looked at this chacham, and he became a pile of bones. So related Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that he had heard from Rabbi Eliezer, or seen with Rabbi Eliezer, and he told this over to Rabbi Abba. When Rabbi Eliezer had calmed down from this anger that he had against this Apikoros, he turned his face away and he began to cry. And he said, Hashem Adonai Adishim Chol HaChol HaRetz. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know how powerful you are. We know how strong you are. We know how much you love Klal Yisrael, and we know how beloved your words of Torah are to us. There isn't a small thing that happens in the world that you won't find its roots in the Torah. And there isn't the smallest thing in the Torah that hasn't come out from your mouth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yochel. These things that this Rosh has asked us, said Rebbe Eliezer to his Talmidim, I once asked these three questions to Eliyahu HaNavi. These same three questions I asked Eliyahu HaNavi. I wanted an answer. And Eliyahu HaNavi responded to me and he said, I want you to know that in Mesivta Derekia, they've been asking these questions and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been giving them the answers. The three questions. Why are Klal Yisrael waiting for a third Beis HaMikdash when the Torah seems to imply there's only going to have been two? Klal Yisrael claim to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yet they suffer more than any other nation. And why do we not eat Nevelis, Trevis, Shchatzim, and Ramasim, and not eating them, we still remain the weakest and perhaps the more ailing than any other nation in the world? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered like this. He says, I want you to remember, Klal Yisrael, you came out of Mitzrayim. At the time that you came out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Klal Yisrael on the Darga of Malachim. And he would have taken us into Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given us a Beis HaMikdash. A Beis HaMikdash that obviously would have been a Beis HaKadosh, which would have been a Tzir Kap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have created it. It would have been something that about which it said, to be Eimah v'sidra Eimah v'har nachalosko, mochayin l'shivtecho po'al to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have made it. And if it would have been made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it would never have been destroyed. Because it would have been Yitzir Kavah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, son that's made by the Ribbono Shel Olam, never gets destroyed. However, we were chayta by the eagle. And when we were chayta by the eagle, we brought in our Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm not going to build these next Batei Mikdash, they're going to be built by human beings. They're going to be built by Shlomo HaMelech. And Shlomo HaMelech himself said, Im Hashem lo yivneh bayis, shav omlu bayin avoy. That means that it's going to be destroyed because it's built by a human being. We're mortals. And we don't last forever, neither does something that we create last forever. Ezra HaSofer came up, he built the second Beis HaMikdash, and he also knew And there were situations where he said they knew that this would be only a for a period of time, but it wouldn't last forever. La'asilavay, we say, Boine Yerushalayim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to build Yerushalayim. How? Said Rabbi Lezer Eliana, we told him, the Rabbeinu Shlomo is going to bring back the first Beis HaMikdash, but it will be the first Beis HaMikdash will come back, the second Beis HaMikdash will come back, the first Beis HaMikdash will be cloaked, that we won't see it, it will be enveloped by Anan HaKavod, that we'll have to be able to enter the Anan HaKavod to go into it, the second Beis HaMikdash will come and it will be more Niskale, but it will be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build Yerushalayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vani Eye Lo Nu'um Hashem Choymas Eish Soviv, and I'm going to build that Beis HaMikdash. So yes, it says Godel Yeh Kved Abayis Azeo Acher Yisum In Arisha, and that means human Bote Mikdosh. Bote Mikdosh built by human beings, yes, that there's only going to be two of. And that you're right. In Tanakh we see that it seems to imply there'll only be two Bote Mikdosh. Yeah, two Bote Mikdosh built by human beings. But there's a third Beis HaMikdosh, the original one that we were meant to have, that's Yetzir Kabbav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's still going to come back, and that will exist forever. And if you want, you could say that, in fact, when it talks about the Bayis Harishon, the Rishon means those first two which were built by human beings. Those two will come back in their second reincarnation, so to speak, as being brought down by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Yetzir Kabbav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's two existing Bate Mikdosh, human built ones, and then the rebuilt structures, Yetzir Kabbav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's going to happen. That's the first answer. The second question that you asked, if we're close to the king, then how is it that we suffer so much? He said, I want you to know, of course, Klal Yisrael, you are the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only that, Klal Yisrael, you are the heart of the whole world. The lave of the whole world. Klal Yisrael are the lave of the entire world. And just like a body cannot exist for a single moment without the heart working and pumping, so too, Klal Yisrael are the heart of the world, and the Shivim Umas HaOlam, which are the rest of the world, cannot exist without Klal Yisrael pulsating and existing and living. Similarly, Yerushalayim is the center of the world, it's the heart of all cities, and if Yerushalayim is not, as long as Yerushalayim is not, it's not pulsating, so to speak, then the rest of the world doesn't have the existence and the pulsating existence that it would have. Bracha will come to the rest of the world via Yerushalayim. Of all the limbs that a person has, so to speak, the most delicate of all limbs, and perhaps the weakest of all the limbs on its own, which is why it's cased and looked after and internally structured in a way where we've got our rib cages and we've got the other muscles around it to protect it, is the heart. At any time that any one of a person's limbs is suffering, the heart feels it. It pumps more blood, the heart rate goes up. The heart feels what's going on in the rest of the body. And he says, and therefore, just in the same way, the reason why Klal Yisrael suffer so much is because of what's going on in the rest of the world with all the Umas HaOlam. Klal Yisrael are just the heart. It's just more apparent. The rest of the Umas HaOlam may not be suffering as much. A person has an ailment in their leg. They can have a cut on their leg. The heart feels it. The blood pressure goes up. A person can have an itch, or a person can have a bite on their finger. The heartbeat goes up because the heart feels it. The heart rate goes up. So too, he says, Klal Yisrael are karev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other nations are distant. Klal Yisrael are the heart of the world. They're the existence of the main existence of the world. And because we are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why, because we're the heart of the world, that's why it looks like we have more ailments and it looks like we suffer more. And perhaps we do. But it's because we're feeling everything else that's going on in the world. The world only exists because of us. The world is only continues to exist. Like the heart, it's only because the heart pulsates and sends blood around to the rest of the world. So too, bracha only goes to the rest of the world because of us. But at the same time, we feel the pain of anything that's going on in the world. And it's just more apparent in us. And perhaps the Shivim Umas HaOlam, the pain of theirs and the destruction of theirs is divided up amongst all of them. But we feel everything of everyone. The last thing that you asked about eating Nevelis and Trefas, why is it that we don't eat Nevelis and Trefas and yet we still seem to be suffering? We're suffering nothing to do with Nevelis and Trefas. The reason why we look like we're less healthy, it goes back to the answer we've just given. He He says, but if you look at the digestive system of a person, what happens? A person eats a variety of different types of foods, healthy and unhealthy. It goes down into the stomach and it gets divided up. The liquids, the solids, the sugars. And then it gets picked up by the blood and transferred around the body and dropped off at each limb what's needed for that limb. It then goes back through the kidneys and gets purified, after which it goes to the heart. The heart needs to have the most purified blood. Because on all other limbs, you can get a blister, you can get a little cut, you can get a little, even he says, a bit of leprosy. Machnish lois, you'll survive through it. The heart can't have anything like that happening to it. And therefore, the blood, after it's been distilled, and everything's been given off from it to the other places in the body, and then it goes and again gets purified through the kidneys, the most purified blood, the most purified of all that I've eaten, and it's in the most sublime way, then will go to the blood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael, the heart of the world. You almost can eat whatever you want. So if you get an ailment, and you get a taras, and you get a cut, and you get physically or spiritually blemished, it's not going to be the end of the world. But Klal Yisrael cannot be. And therefore, for Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided that we cannot eat these types of things. So, a third Beis HaMikdash built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to happen. The two that we've spoken about were built by human beings. The reason why Klal Yisrael suffers is because they are the heart of the world. They feel the pain of every other part, every limb of the body, every other 70 nations of the world. And the reason why we don't eat the things that other Muslims can eat is because we are the heart of the world and we have that sensitivity. Therefore, we need the most purified of all food substances, and that's what we are able to eat. And that's what he says, Kuloch Yofara Yossi Umum Ein Boch. Because you can't have a mum, because you're the heart. Rabbi Yossi came, he kissed the hand of Rabbi Abba, and he said, if I came to the world only to hear this, Dai, it would have been enough. And that's the Medrash, the Rav Shimon bar Yochai, what he relates to us in this week's parsha. That tells us a little bit as well, why the Bnei Sosso says, Parshas Pinchas always happens in the 3 weeks. Because we learn about the Karbonos. Why do we learn about the Karbonos? First of all, in the Shalom Poems, we'll say, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for that third Beis HaMikdash. We don't have it. We don't have that close to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we lay in the Karbonos so that we should be able to get close to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time as well, we've got to remember the story at the end of Maseches Makos. Without going into that story now, we all know the famous story. Rabbi Akiva was walking with the other Tanoim. They were crying and he was smiling. And they asked him why he's smiling. He asked them why they're crying. They said, you see a fox walking across the Mokim HaMikdash, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim stood, and you don't cry. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's exactly why I'm smiling. Because I was always skeptical about the Nevuah of Uriah, of Tzion Sodeh Techoresh, and whether it would actually happen, of Shualim Hilchuboy. I mean, now that I've seen that Nevuah has happened exactly as it was predicted, then I know that the Nevuah of Zechariah, of Odyeshu Zekenius Berchovitz Yerushalayim, will also happen to exactly what's been predicted. And I look forward. And that's why I'm smiling. I have an eye to the past, but that helps to create my vision for the future, that helps me to understand there is what to look forward to. And hence, says the Bnei Yisrael, that we lain these parashas, the parasha now, this week's parasha of the Korbanos, to say, look forward. It's the Bein HaMatzarim, yeah, but we've been through thousands of years without the Beis HaMikdash. We're closer than ever before, just by process of elimination itself, we're closer than ever before to getting back our Beis HaMikdash. So we've got to take inspiration from this week's parasha about the Korbanos, about the kirva that we can have, about the kirva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have to us. Because with Tzaras and Loitzar and Davon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this should be the last year that we should lay in Parashas Pinchas without the Beis HaMikdash. And Be'ez Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezakeh us to that third Beis HaMikdash, which is Yetzir Kapam Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we won't have the torments of the Umas HaOlam, which look at us as being seklapped and bashed and downridden. But on the contrary, they'll realize that we are the heart of the world. Bracha comes to the world because of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that siyata dishmaya, that we should be zeichet to the gula b'mhira v'yameinu. Amen.